Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Nobody and nothing under the sun will satisfy any human being but him who came from above the sun, who is our bridegroom, and all of us are his bride. He alone in this life will begin for us to find satisfaction in this life and in the life to come. And when he comes into a life, he wants to come and give us that which we most need as Christians.
The truth is, there's only one dream for your life that will satisfy you. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today on The Winning Walk, Dr. Young finishes his message, Living Up to Your Potential, and explores what it takes to lead the fulfilling life you were made to enjoy. Stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, if you're like most people, you've experienced some trials this year, sickness or fear, maybe loneliness, just to name a few. That's why Dr. Young wants to encourage you today by sending you his son Ben's brand new book called Survive the Day, Thriving in the Midst of Life's Storms. This book shows you how to draw from God's strength and trust in his promises in these uncertain times. We'll send you Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Living Up to Your Potential, Part 2.
Wisdom is better than weapons. Wisdom is better than weapons. Wisdom is better than strength. I heard about a guy, a young guy who was all muscled up. He was working there on the work site. He told all of his cohorts, he said, I'm stronger than anybody here. He said, I can lift more than anybody here. And the average guy said, well, let's just see about that. You want to put your money where your mouth is? He said, what do you propose? He said, I can put something in that wheelbarrow, and I can roll it to that wall about 50 yards away, and you can't roll that wheelbarrow back with that which I put in the wheelbarrow. The muscular guy said, hey, bring it on. Let's do it. What do you want to bet? A day's wage. He said, that's fine with me. And then the average-sized guy said, okay, I'll prove it. You get in the wheelbarrow. All chickens here miss that. But the point is, wisdom is better than strength. How many wars could have been avoided? How many conflicts could have been avoided if somebody would take a time out and speak quietly and back up and use wisdom? Solomon is talking about prairie chickens keep getting you in trouble, into silliness, into troubles, to neglect, and they miss so many things. And this, then he tells us what prairie chickens overlook. Look at the latter part of verse 18. But one sinner destroys much good. Anybody want to debate with that? You go to a group, and one idiot there can ruin the whole party, the whole gathering, the whole family reunion, a whole high school reunion. Man, so my point is, one sin can destroy somebody's life. I had a friend in Atlanta. He was an outstanding young man, great wife, kids. His wife one day told him that she'd had a brief affair with someone that they knew, and he just got up out of bed and got his shotgun and said, I'm going to go kill him. And his wife grabbed him and said, no, we can work it out. He put the shotgun down. But the next morning, his wife called the police, said she was frightened, and she was, told the kids, make a long story short, they were divorced, totally ruined. His employer fired him. He could not get a job. And years ago, his wife married the man she'd had a little affair with, and now they're divorced, and the whole family is messed up from top to bottom, and this guy has had a tough time having any kind of employment because of what? 5 minutes of acting like a prairie chicken in a crisis situation. It doesn't take long to mess up your life or to mess up my life, does it? Little things, a little sin. And then look what else a prairie chicken don't understand. Dead flies make a perfumer of oil stink, and a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor. A fly in the ointment. Ever heard that phrase? Boy, there's a fly in the ointment. Man, a little fly can make you question the whole thing you're eating. I remember the story of the guy who ordered soup, and there was a fly in his soup. He called the waiter over and says, what is that fly doing in my soup? And the waiter looked in and says, well, I think he's doing the backstroke. The bottom line is, a little fly in the ointment. One little sin. Little thing. Prairie chickens, they don't get it. They don't realize the importance of little things. And then Solomon continues with the same line of thinking. Look at it. He says, a wise man's heart directs him toward the right, but the foolish heart directs him toward the left. There you have the Democratic Republican Party, right here. I didn't write it, it's right in the Bible. And he says, even when the fool walks along the road, his sense is lacking and he demonstrates to everyone that he is a fool. What is he saying? He's saying, a little sin gets you in trouble. He said, a little fly in anything destroys the whole. And he says, one step in the wrong direction, your destination will be a disaster. If you are standing here and you want to walk a straight line for 100 yards, and you start off 1 degree, just 1 degree, off that straight line, you will miss your goal by 5.2 feet. Okay. If you're standing right here and you decide to go to the moon and you're just 1 degree off on your trip to the moon, you will miss the moon by 4,196 miles. If you're standing here and you decide you want to go to the sun, and you're 1 degree off, you'll miss the sun by 1.6 million miles. A little thing means a lot. And the whole purpose of Solomon is saying, let's just look at your life. And I would say, are you and I, we have some birds in us, some prairie chicken in us, and therefore we've got to look at these little things that we'd explained away and realize as life goes on, as it pushes out, it can end a million miles from the way we wanted to end up. When you get where you're going right now, where will you be? You see, if God doesn't work a change in our lives, if you're jealous now, you're 94 years old in a rest home, you're going to be more jealous then than you are now. The meanest people in the world are in rest homes, and the sweetest people in the world are in rest homes, because what we are now, we're becoming more and more and more of that. Unless we meet Christ, we're living like a prairie chicken. We're going to end up more prairie chicken than when we began, because we start in the wrong direction. A little sin, a little misstep. Destination. Now, then Solomon starts, he tells us and shows us what a prairie chicken's lifestyle is. And I'm going to move so fast, you better hold on, because these are all silly little things that prayer chickens do, you and I, and it's the mark of a prayer chicken and the mark of a fool. Look what he says. If the ruler's temper rises against you, do not abandon your position because composure allays great offenses. Here's a prayer chicken who has a job, and the boss comes in and reprimands him. Maybe the boss is wrong, maybe the boss is right, the boss is violent. Then the prayer chicken resigns. I've got my pride. What Solomon said? He said, you know, back up, take a time out, consider the whole situation, and it may be the beginning of wisdom. If you are young, you may not know this. If you're old, you know this. It's easier to get a job when you have a job. When you don't have a job and you've had a job, it's real tough to get a job. Mark that down. That is not prairie chicken wisdom. That's intelligent wisdom. So he said, here's somebody. Oh, somebody tell, oh, I resign. I'm not going. No, no, he says, use some composure. Cool down. Good advice. Then he talks about leadership, and it doesn't mean you're a CEO or you're a foreman or you're a captain. It may mean you're the head of a home, a father. Maybe you have responsibility for children, a mother. And he says, all of this is prairie chicken leadership. Boy, we got a lot of it around, as we all know. Look at it. Verse 8. Folly is set in many exalted places, while rich men sit in humble places. I've seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking like slaves on land. He's not talking about slaves or princes. What he's really saying, he said, I've seen people who have great ability, and they're working for people who have less ability. And he says, that thing's upside down. He said, that's what happens to prairie chickens. You get a prairie chicken in a place of authority, you got a problem, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what it is. A prairie chicken, man, they're exacting, they're overbearing. They don't understand anything about love and graciousness and compatibility or how to reprimand or deal with a situation through intelligence and love and graciousness. Boy, that will ruin anything. A prairie chicken in leadership is a disaster every single time. And you see so many people making crazy statements in this world, taking unbelievable positions in this world. Prairie chickens, unfortunately, have been elected to high office and hold important positions in almost every corporation, company, organization on the planet. And boy, when they show themselves, it is an ugly sight indeed to behold. We're talking about prairie chicken leadership here. You know, one of the biggest prairie chickens in the Bible was Jacob. Oh, yeah. Abraham. Man, he was a slick arsehole. He passed his wife off with his sister twice to save his hide. Isaac means laughter, and he was a joke. He was a passive father, and nothing is more deadly to a family than a passive dad. Write that down. And then you have Jacob. His name means flim-flam man, con artist, slick. Exactly what his name means. He lived up to it just like his grandfather and his father. And then Jacob conned his brother Esau out of the main inheritance in the family in conjunction with his mother, who was a slick operator in and of herself. And then Esau comes and says, I'm going to kill you. And Jacob runs the other side of the Fertile Crescent, the Tigris and Euphrates River, and he's in hiding in order to save his hide from his brother Esau, who's going to kill him because he stole all of his inheritance. Man, some kind of guy, isn't he? And he gets there, and he goes up to his uncle Laban in his mother's side of the family, and he hires him to look after the flocks. He is a very successful shepherd. And finally, Laban comes to him and says, look, we want you to stay here and be in charge of my flocks. What will I have to pay you? You know what his answer was? Rachel, the younger, beautiful daughter of Laban. I want Rachel. Laban says, okay, we'll cut a deal where you can have Rachel. And I want you to listen to these verses. They are so descriptive. Stay with me. We see a prairie chicken in action in Jacob. Genesis 29, 16, following. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak. Don't know exactly what that means. But Rachel was beautiful of form and face. She was a knockout, Miss America. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel. Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but for a few days because of his love for her. And then we see, verse 21, then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my time is completed. And literally it says here in the translation that I may go into her, it says that I might have sex with her. That's literally the Hebrew. Now what happened? Remember with the Bible story, it's two con artists. On top, Laban was slick, Jacob was slick. Who was the slickest? And so what Laban did, they had a big wedding, everybody got drunk. And so it came time for the father, as was tradition, to take the daughter out to her husband who was waiting in the tent. He took Leah and covered her up in all kinds of beautiful gowns and took her and gave her to Jacob. He thought it was Rachel. He was so drunk, he didn't know. It was dark. And so the marriage was consummated there. And then you have this terrific little verse here that you might overlook in verse 25, Genesis 29. It says, so it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. Well, I thought I married Rachel. I went to bed, and it is Leah. Jacob was never loved by his dad. Jacob lost the love of his mother. Jacob was hated by his brother who put a contract on him. He knew nothing about the love of God. But when he saw beautiful Rachel, he said, if I could have that love, I would have everything worked out in my life. If I could have her, I would be complete. I would be whole. I would be somebody. I would have purpose. Follow me, ladies and gentlemen. Nobody and nothing under the sun will satisfy any human being. You say, oh, if I could have that Rachel, for some would be that particular job. The Rachel for some would be, if I could have that house, if I could have those kind of children, if I could take that trip, if I could have those kind of resources, if I could have this. There are a lot of things in this world we think are Rachel's, and they'd satisfy us. But if we ever get them, you'll discover every single time that you thought you went to bed with a Rachel and you had Rachel, and every time you'll wake up with a Leah that will not satisfy. There's only one thing that'll satisfy. Nothing under the sun will satisfy. But him who came from above the sun, who is our bridegroom, and all of us are his bride, he alone in this life will begin for us to find satisfaction in this life and in the life to come. And when he comes into a life, he wants to come and give us that which we most need as Christians. Godly wisdom. Because we're sick, most of us, of acting and living like prairie chickens. We tried all of this. Every time we think we have a Rachel, we end up with a Leah, unless we receive him who gives us godly wisdom. With no one moving, would you bow your head with me, please? Every head bowed. You say, well, how do you get this wisdom? Man, it's so plain, it's so powerful. We look at the book of James. The Bible says, but if any of you, prairie chickens, that's all of us, lacks wisdom, so let him or her ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, without any conditions, and it will be given to him. That's what I want to do right now. I want to ask God for divine wisdom. All this prairie chicken stuff in my life, I want it to be transformed into an eagle for God, and I want to ask for divine wisdom. That's my prayer. Let that be your prayer as we pray together. Said anybody you ask, no conditions, for wisdom, divine wisdom, you'll move from being a prairie chicken to being an eagle, and just like that.
Well, before we leave you today, Dr. Young is here to answer a couple of questions coming out of the message we've just heard. Dr. Young, if a listener wants to give guidance to someone, can you advise them how to do so in a discerning way that reflects truth and grace and love?
First of all, if someone comes to you for guidance, if you're not a professional Christian psychologist or counselor, you can go just so far. The best thing you can do is listen, to ask some questions, and to discern whether or not they're a Christian. Explain to them what it means to confess sin, repent of sin, receive Jesus Christ into his life, and to surrender your life to him. That's the thing we can do. That's bearing witness. Now, beyond that, there's a lot of brokenness in a lot of lives, and there's no simple answer to healing. They may need to see and be dealt with by a professional Christian counselor. That's not you, and it's certainly not me. Therefore, we have to stay inside the proper parameters. In those parameters, we can experience grace, forgiveness, encouragement, and love as those things to those who come. But a lot of people are broken, and we can listen, and we can prescribe. But understand, you're not a counselor. You do not need to get in a long, protracted relationship. Point to Christian people who are professionals in this area, in your church or in other areas, who are genuinely Christians. And they will be able to take whatever the bottomness of this life is and begin to point them to biblical truth and biblical principles. Witness, lead them to Christ, but let them know that is the beginning of the healing process that God has for them through his grace, through his love, through his healing of all the disease that has crept into their life and their personality.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope you're being encouraged through today's message and taking new steps in your own winning walk with Christ. We want to help you even further by sending you a brand new book from Dr. Young's son, Ben, called Survive the Day. Trials in life are inevitable, and sometimes difficult circumstances continue with no end in sight, while prayers for miracles seem to go unanswered. But in Survive the Day, Ben shares personal experience, hard-worn wisdom, and counterintuitive choices to help you flourish in life despite heartbreaking challenges. We're excited to send you a copy of Survive the Day as thanks for your gift to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening to The Winning Walk today. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young shares a powerful message to help you break free from life's ruts.